the kingdom of God, and Jesus' invitation for us to find our place within it is not only something meant to give us comfort as we leave this world. It is also an opportunity for us to see God at work here and now in the most extraordinary ways, and also in things as simple as a meal shared.
That's the Reverend John Odegaard, and today he brings you a challenging message of faith called Making Room. I'm Peter Wallace. It's day one.
Welcome to Day One, the weekly program that brings you outstanding preachers from America's historic Protestant churches, sharing insight and inspiration from God's Word for your life. Now to introduce this week's preacher, here's our host, Peter Wallace.
Thank you, Sherry. Today on Day One, we're honored to have with us the Reverend John Odegaard, pastor of Grace Lutheran Church in Mankato, Minnesota. John worked as a carpenter for 10 years before changing careers to join Grace Lutheran Church as Minister for Discipleship and Faith Formation in June 2014. In 2016, he entered the TEAM program, Theological Education for Emerging Ministries, and attended Wartburg Seminary, graduating in 2019. He was called to serve Grace Lutheran as pastor in August 2019. John, welcome to Day One.
Thank you so much. I'm grateful to have this chance to be with you today.
So paint us a portrait of Grace Lutheran Church. What are the people there up to inside and outside the church's walls?
Grace Lutheran Church is a fantastic place, and I'm so grateful to be their pastor. Over the last few years, we have been going all in on some food ministries related to food recovery specifically. We've been working with the South Central Minnesota Food Recovery, which just started this last year in Mankato. And what we do is we take food that's going to get wasted and thrown away from major distributors like the Walmart Distribution Center, and we turn it into meals, and we make sure that it's feeding the hungry. So that's been a wonderful joy of being pastor there, along with just trying to serve and love our neighbors and the community around us by opening up our doors. Our building is used all week by outside organizations. It's a wonderful place.
So I'm curious, I wonder if you'd say more about your neighborhood in Mankato, the sort of city that it is.
Sure. Mankato is a city that has been really growing over the last few years. At the same time as the city grows and more job opportunities arise, it turns out we also find that there are more people who are hungry, too. And so it's a really neat community. There's a wonderful focus on art as of late, a strong economy. It's a great place to live, wonderful schools. But just like anywhere, there's a lot of people to love as well.
John, you have had an interesting life journey, starting out as a carpenter, just like Jesus, and then moving into the ministry. First, what drew you into carpentry?
Well, it started when I was pretty young. My stepdad did carpentry quite a bit, so I learned some then. When I was out on my own, I ended up with a good friend of mine whose dad owned a bunch of apartment buildings. And that's what I think really got me all in, is I needed a job, and he had a bunch of work that needed to get done. And he was willing to pay me the tiny amount that he was paying me for however long it took me to learn how to do this stuff. And, you know, just having that chance to try and to grow made me realize I had a knack for it. And so I stuck with it for quite a while, and I ended up doing some really cool projects. I was in kitchen and bathroom remodels and things, and it was a good job.
And then how did you experience that call to serve at Grace as Minister for Discipleship and Faith Formation?
I was fortunate to grow up going to church. And in high school, I got to be a part of a praise band. I played the bass guitar at the time. And I started to feel that call a little bit then. Just I saw how wonderful it was to be more in tune with everything that makes the church go. And as I got a little bit older and I moved around a little bit, eventually I joined a church and they put me to work working with high school youth right away. And it just got to that point where suddenly I was leading mission trips, and then I was teaching classes, and then I was writing curriculum and leading Bible studies. And they told me, you really ought to be doing this for a living. And so when a church a few blocks over was looking for a youth and family person, they gave me the chance to do it. And that's kind of where it all took off.
I understand you typically preach from the narrative lectionary rather than the revised common lectionary most of our preachers use. How would you describe the differences?
Yeah. I have enjoyed the narrative lectionary because it follows the story of the Bible in chronological order. And so for me, I just think it's easier to see how one story connects to the next in that scenario. With the revised common lectionary, you might be preaching from one end of the Bible one week and the next end the next week. And sometimes it's harder as a pastor to make the connection between the two. Right now in the narrative lectionary from one week to the next, I can build on the story from last week in a way that makes sense. It's easy to follow, but it also builds people's biblical literacy to understand that all of these stories are part of one larger story of what God is up to. So I've really enjoyed the narrative lectionary.
Well, John, your sermon today is based on the gospel lesson from John chapter 14. Would you read it for us?
I will. Jesus said, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many dwelling places. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again, and I will take you to myself, so that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way to the place where I am going." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way?" And Jesus said to him, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you know me, you will know my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." Philip said to him, "Lord, show us the Father, and we will be satisfied." Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you all this time, Philip, and you still do not know me? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. But if you do not, then believe because of the works themselves. Very truly I tell you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and in fact will do greater works than these, because I am going to the Father. I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If in my name you ask me for anything, I will do it."
So much good stuff in these 14 verses. I'm curious what stood out for you this time in preparing your sermon.
Yeah, for me, the piece that really stuck with me was, "Where I am, there you will be also." Just how Jesus is always preparing this place for us to be where he already is. And as you find in my sermon, I felt strongly that that place that Jesus is preparing isn't just someday. It's right now, to be in that heart, that love for our neighbor that Jesus embodies and invites us into as well.
Your message is titled "Making Room." John, thanks for sharing it with us.
It was wonderful to be here. Thank you so much for having me.
This is Peter Wallace. In this holy season of Easter, we celebrate with you the hope of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Day One exists to proclaim this hope every week, on the radio, by podcast, and online. After 78 years of faithful weekly broadcasts, Day One is facing new opportunities and new challenges with hope for a bright future. But we need your support to bring this future to light. So I'm asking for your generous donation to ensure that Day One continues to fulfill its mission. Please mail your gift to Day One, 2715 Peachtree Road, Atlanta, Georgia, 30305. Or call us at 404-815-9110. Or give securely online at dayone.org. Thank you, and may God bless you.
I have the great privilege of living in the wonderful state of Minnesota, and among its 10,000 lakes and many other reasons to enjoy the great outdoors, Minnesota is home to one of my favorite places, the Boundary Waters Canoe Area Wilderness. More than 1 million acres of protected beauty filled with thousands of lakes and streams, waterfalls and rock formations, surrounded by forest along our border with Canada. This is a place that was prepared for us by the slow work of glaciers. And now we too have the opportunity to slow down the pace of life for a short time while we marvel at the wonders of creation there. Typically, when you enter the Boundary Waters, you are using a canoe to get around. You might enter in one area, load all of your equipment, food, clothing into the canoe, and paddle across a lake. And then you take everything out and carry it through the woods to the next lake, where you load it all up and paddle across again. Whether you like to move campsites each day or plant yourself in one spot for a week, typically the goal is to pack light, remembering that everything you bring will be carried on your back at some point. A few years ago, some friends and I decided to take a very different kind of trip into the Boundary Waters. We decided to pack as heavy as we possibly could, heavy enough that our boats were filled to the top, and it looked like we were pushing a barge through the lake. We planned to find a spot and stay put. Where typically one would forgo all of the comforts of home, this time we brought lawn chairs, a cooler full of steaks and brats frozen to last the week, as well as fresh potatoes and onions. We had hammocks and tents for everyone, and even ended up with an extra, because when you are bringing everything, you don't always realize you have overpacked. We had a small table to cook at, a coffee press, and fresh roasted beans to keep us awake all night as we played some quiet songs on the guitar that we squeezed into the boat as well. We were going to enjoy ourselves in our secluded slice of paradise. Even when a thunderstorm that evening bent the trees so low that my hammock was resting flat against the ground, I wasn't worried about not being able to sleep comfortably, though I had to quickly take down my own hammock and tarps to keep them from being torn apart in the wind. I found plenty of room in the four-person tent that my friend had brought for himself. We weren't even crowded as we watched an old movie on his phone before sleeping like a log. And after a hearty breakfast of biscuits and gravy, I set up my hammock again, and I took a four-hour nap. Because you can do that kind of thing there. And because the waves were still a foot high on the lake and too wild to want to go anywhere, I slept until I was awoken by the sound of a boat thumping up onto the shore in my quiet and secluded corner of the island. And I looked up to see two of the most tired and worn out people I have ever met. Remember, part of the appeal of the Boundary Waters is that you are secluded. The idea is to avoid other groups as much as possible to preserve the wilderness, and to be respectful. To have unexpected visitors hit the shore 10 feet from your hammock is more than a little unusual. I walked over to see what had brought them here, and I found that while I had a safe and comfortable place to rest in the storm, they had been anxiously awaiting the opportunity to leave the wilderness. While I ate my breakfast that was better than what I usually eat at home, they were loading their boat early that morning, hoping to be out soon. And while I took a 4-hour nap, they were fighting those foot-high waves until their boat flipped. Half of their belongings were lost, their tent, their clothes, and more. And they clung to what they could hold on to for several hours in the very cold water. In the middle of this giant lake, they couldn't set their boat right, so they just floated in the wind and the waves until they finally found a large rock they could climb onto. They turned the boat over and they set off again, hoping they would make it. Trying only to keep from flipping again, and going only where the waves led them, they had found this shore. Unsure of where exactly they were on the lake or how close to home they might be, now they were not sure if they would be welcome, crashing our party. So they were quite apologetic. They asked if they could only rest a moment and then be pointed in the right direction. In our reading for today, Jesus says, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go, I will come again, so that where I am, there you will be also." In these words that I so often use as part of a funeral service, we find comfort in the far-off place prepared for us beyond this world. But Jesus was rarely only talking about that far-off someday when he invited people into life in the kingdom of God. And so today I invite you to consider the ways that we find ourselves in that place prepared for us whenever we help to prepare a place for others, in our daily lives and in our hearts. The kingdom of God and Jesus' invitation for us to find our place within it is not only something meant to give us comfort as we leave this world. It is also an opportunity for us to see God at work here and now in the most extraordinary ways, and also in things as simple as a meal shared or making space when others have not felt welcomed. I am happy to say that our camp came to see that perhaps this abundance of amenities that we had packed in was placed here for more than just a week of relaxing. We pulled up a chair and made a fresh pot of coffee for our unexpected guests. We asked them to please stay until dinner because the waves were too unpredictable and we had plenty to share. We hoped the wind would relent as the evening set in and we could help them get back to shore. But after a dinner of steak and potatoes, the waves were worse than before. So we begged them to please stay. Because even though they had lost their tent and sleeping bag, we had an extra of each of those by accident. We had plenty of warm clothes to share. And we had marshmallows to roast. So these two found themselves in a place prepared, unknowingly, just for them, for the night. And after a hearty breakfast, two of us went with them to make sure they found themselves safely home. And as a delightful side note to this story, I called to check in a few days later when our group left the wilderness. And it turns out someone found their bag and brought it to the outfitters. But what is most incredible is that the people who found that bag also flipped their canoe that day and they lost their own tent. They ended up using this one they had found to keep warm for the night. Even this lost bag ended up exactly where it needed to be to prepare a space for someone else. And I can say I never imagined I would get to see a story like this unfold, much less say I got to make marshmallows in the middle of it. We certainly didn't plan to host guests in our 5-star base camp, as they called it. But just as they found unexpectedly that a place had been prepared just for them, we found that here, too, was a place prepared just for us. Here was the opportunity to find the truth of Jesus' words, so that where he is, there we might be also. It is the work of Jesus Christ that daily invites us into his kingdom here and now. It is the Holy Spirit that has prepared us to follow him into his love for the world. Whenever the opportunity to love arises, that is the place that Jesus has prepared for us, so that we might be closer to him as we love our neighbor. He also promises that his followers will do miracles, greater than any the disciples had yet seen. And each day is one more opportunity to see the truth of that as well. You may believe that it is only 2 hungry strangers you are feeding from your abundance, or perhaps it is only a warm fire shared with someone who is cold, or only a few dollars that buy 1 stranger lunch today. But because the kingdom is alive and at work, how many thousands are fed each day because Jesus has prepared that place for us? Collectively, how many are warm and fed today because those who believe have seen Jesus in their neighbors and felt that call to follow him to that place prepared in love? Jesus does not simply hold your spot at the table in some far-off heaven. He is inviting you to pull up a chair today. So have a seat. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Our preacher today was the Reverend John Odegaard, pastor of Grace Lutheran Church in Mankato, Minnesota. For a free transcript of his sermon titled Making Room, call us at 404-815-9110. That's 404-815-9110. Or write to us at Day 1, 2715 Peachtree Road, Atlanta, Georgia, 30305. Please keep in mind that Day 1 depends on the financial gifts of faithful listeners like you. Send your donation to Day 1, 2715 Peachtree Road, Atlanta, Georgia, 30305. We're grateful for your help. This is Peter Wallace. Next time on Day 1, we're honored to have with us the Reverend Dr. Doc Hollingsworth, Senior Pastor of Second Ponce de Leon Baptist Church in Atlanta, Georgia. Doc's sermon is titled, Because God is Not in Favor of Ignorance. Join us next week on Day 1. Our Day 1 preacher, John Odegaard, offers some final reflections on his sermon, Making Room. And John, you began with a gorgeous picture of the Boundary Waters Canoe Area Wilderness in your home state of Minnesota and your love of camping and canoeing there. And before we get to your sermon on it, let me go meta and ask you why you enjoy spending time in the outdoors, God's creation. What are the benefits of that, and how might we build more of that experience into our lives?
The primary reason that I love it is 4-hour-long naps, completely uninterrupted. I have 2 small children, and they don't happen at home. But there is just nowhere where I find the beauty of creation so inescapable as the Boundary Waters. It is so perfectly preserved. And if you've never heard the call of a loon at night, it just puts you in a really special place. And so for me, that is why that place is as good as it gets. It is just pure, unending beauty that can only be a sign of how wonderful and magnificent God is. I think the way to build it into our daily lives is taking the time to look. That beauty is everywhere. It's not just up there. Up there, it's impossible not to see it. But I firmly believe that God is everywhere. And if we're looking, if we've got our eyes open, we're going to find that beauty. The 4-hour naps, on the other hand, a little harder to find at home.
The story you shared about your camping experience with friends in a terrible thunderstorm was amazing. And you showed us a glimpse of the kingdom and how you welcomed the poor, bedraggled campers who'd lost almost everything in the storm on the rough lake waters. It was a glimpse of what Jesus promised us when he said, "I go to prepare a place for you." But you asked us to consider the ways we find ourselves in that place prepared for us whenever we help to prepare a place for others in our daily lives and in our hearts. Can you help us think of ways to make that preparation part of our everyday lives?
Absolutely. I think as you go about your day, there are so many opportunities for us to just see the people standing right in front of us and to recognize that this is an opportunity to see Jesus. Whether it's that hungry person standing on the corner with a sign, or whether it's just somebody who you bump into who needs directions, every interaction is just one more chance to be in that place that Jesus has prepared for us, that place of love and welcome. And so again, sort of like looking for that beauty, it's just opening our eyes to look and see.
John, what's one thing from your sermon today that you hope our listeners will carry with them in the days ahead?
Yes, I hope that people will carry with them this idea that you are a part of something so much bigger than yourself. Jesus doesn't want to do this all by himself. He wants you to be there doing it with him. Jesus wants to love the entire world, and the best way that he can do that is through you. And I hope that each and every person who hears this will think about that as they go about their day, that this is my chance to love people as part of what Jesus is doing here today.
John Odegaard, thank you for being with us.
Thank you so much. It was really my pleasure.
Day One is the voice of America's mainline Protestant churches. Visit us online at dayone.org. Our program is recorded and edited by Donald Jones and produced by Peter Wallace. Thank you for joining us. I'm Sherry Miller, wishing you all God's blessings on Day One and forever.